Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And look who's thinking about nationalizing the banks.
This idea of nationalizing banks is not comfortable, but I think we have gotten so many toxic assets spread throughout the banking and financial community throughout the world that we're going to have to do something that no one ever envisioned a year ago, no one likes, but
our government. So what would you do now?
I would not take off the idea of nationalizing the banks.
So Senator Lindsey Graham with George Stephanopoulos on ABC, maybe starting his new interest group, Republicans for Socialism. Should we call it that? Just kidding. But I was struck on Sunday watching Graham and Long Island Republican Congressman Peter King on ABC sounding very open to the idea of nationalization, government ownership of troubled banks, which in traditional political terms would put them significantly to the left of, say, the Obama administration. Here is Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner from his bank rescue plan announcement last week.
We believe that our policies must be designed to mobilize and leverage private capital, not to supplant or discourage private capital.
So at least it sounds like Lindsey Graham is more for nationalization than the Obama cabinet. Also warming to the idea of nationalization more than Geithner last week was our first guest today, Joe Nocera. In his Talking Business column in the New York Times, which comes out on Saturdays, he expressed his openness to bank nationalization last week. He also talks business on Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon, and we're pleased that Joe Nocera is giving us an extra shot here this morning. Hi, Joe. Thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. Now, this word is being thrown around loosely quite a bit these days, so maybe you, with your knowledge, can start with a basic definition for us of what bank nationalization actually means.
Well, it does not mean like Hugo Chavez in Venezuela nationalizing the oil companies and kicking out Exxon and Chevron. Okay, that's number one. It is not intended as a long-term solution for anything. When you think about it, the FDIC, quote-unquote, nationalizes banks all the time. For, you know, they take insolvent banks, they shut them down on Fridays, and they reopen them on Mondays under basically new management. And what people are envisioning, you know, Paul Krugman's been way ahead on this, but what people are envisioning is, stop making believe that certain large banks are not insolvent, and do what you got to do. Get in there, take them over, wipe out the shareholders, probably give the unsecured debt holders a haircut as well. Strip out the good assets and maybe sell them to another bank or put them in the same a bank under the same name. It could be called Citibank still. Strip out the bad assets and get rid of them at your leisure. And, you know, then sell it to private investors. A process that would take not a matter of years, but probably, if you did it right, a matter of months.
So is Lindsey Graham now leading Republicans for Socialism?
Well, the thing about it is that's the problem with the word, Brian, is it's so loaded. If you called it receivership or you gave it some other, you know, benign phrase, it wouldn't feel like socialism. But using the word nationalization, which is something this country does on a fairly regular basis with banks, is so loaded that, yeah, you make it sound like socialism. But the truth of the matter is the capitalist, the financial portion of the capitalist system is really broken. And it really takes strong action by the government to fix it. And that's just undeniable. And so the question then becomes, what action can you take that will give it the biggest jolt and get the biggest bang for the buck? And by the way, will protect the shareholder, the taxpayers the biggest. And I actually think nationalization would do all of those things.
And why is that, in your opinion? Because let's assume for the moment that, as you suggested, we don't care at all about the bank shareholders, that they should watch their investments go to zero if necessary, if that's in the best interest of the taxpayers and the broader economy. Why would it be in our best interests rather than just trying to recapitalize the banks in their current private hands to get them going again, as Geithner seems to prefer?
Well, the reason is because at the moment, it's a bottomless pit. You don't know where the end is. You don't know how bad the bad assets are ultimately going to be. And it's actually somewhat destabilizing to keep throwing government money into these banks, and then have, you know, continued write-downs, continued capitalizations. And no private investor is going to come into the banking system until they know the bottom has been reached. And the easiest and best and smartest way to reach the bottom, to know you've done that, is basically with nationalization, because the government comes in and suddenly they own the bad assets. They own them. They can strip them out of the bank, and they can sell them off or do whatever they need to do with them over the course of time. They don't have to value them, mark to market, any of that other stuff. They, you know, it's very much like what the country did during the S&L crisis. And then they take the good assets, they leave it in the bank, they prop the bank bad up, and then you can say, here is the bank. Here's what it looks like. How much do you want to buy it for, Mr. Private Investor? You can't do that now.
And so what are the politics of this? Because, you know, as I started with at the beginning, maybe you saw that ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, where it looked like the Republicans were more for this temporary nationalization than the Democrats were. There was Peter King very open to it, Lindsey Graham in that clip we played very open to it, Chuck Schumer and Maxine Waters were the people sitting there saying, oh, no, banks belong in private hands, or if at all possible. That kind of scrambled my brain.
Yeah, I know. First of all, I don't think it's right to say that because Lindsey Graham is open to it, that the Republican general are open to it. I mean, I think most of the Republican Party would be fiercely, fiercely opposed to this. I also think that I think the Democrats are taking their cues on this from Geithner and the administration. And I think if the administration were to come around, if Geithner were to wake up one day and say, you know, we got to swallow hard and do this, because it's the only way we're going to attract private capital back to the banking system, I think the Democrats would be lockstep and behind it in a millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the tougher question is, why is the administration so opposed to this? Partly the answer is taking over Citibank is a hell of a lot more complicated than taking over even a Wachovia or a Washington Mutual. You know, they have, you know, they're just immensely complicated operations. And I think, second of all, I do think, for reasons that I find mystifying, Geithner seems pretty hell-bent on trying to make sure that the current shareholders don't get wiped out. I don't really understand why that is.
Do you think, and we have a couple of minutes for phone calls or online questions for Joe Nocera, who writes the Talking Business column in the New York Times on Saturdays, and you hear him on Saturdays with Scott Simon on Weekend Edition as well, as we talk about bank nationalization and why he, among some others, is becoming open to this idea. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your question or comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Our comments page is always open. Do you think that Tim Geithner is just too close to Wall Street to do this job objectively?
I think he's too close to the previous administration's set of solutions. You know, he was part of that. And I think, you know, there are very few people like Gorbachev who live in a system and keep their mouths shut and then wake up one day in power and revolutionize the system. That just doesn't happen very often. And I don't think Geithner is that kind of figure. So, you know, he worked very closely with Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke. He was involved in decisions around Merrill Lynch, AIG, Fannie Freddie, and Lehman Brothers. And I think it's hard for him to break loose of those set of ideas that he inherited from the previous administration.
Do you think, and I realize you're a business columnist, not a political columnist, but do you think that Obama has, or that other people in addition to him, have Obama's ear on this with a competing argument? Or does Obama have to pick up the Times and read you and Krugman?
I'm sure there are people inside the administration who are more open to the nationalization idea. I suspect that Larry Summers, who seems to most have the president's ear, is not among them. You know, the president, let me just say this. The thing you have to remember about the president here is that he has a fully formed set of ideas about health care, you know, about education, about issues that he's been thinking about his whole life. He hasn't been thinking about this his whole life.
Right.
So he's a little more captive to his aides on this than he is on other issues. And it is a problem because he's probably getting conflicting advice. And it's hard for him, I think, to sort out, you know, what his own mind is. I suspect a year from now he will have a much clearer idea of what he thinks and wants to do and will be much less beholden to even his Treasury Secretary.
Sam in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Joe Nocera. Hi, Sam.
Brian, good morning. Welcome back. You were away for a long time.
Thank you. Took a little vacation for a few days.
I just have a fast question for
President's Day week with my kids. Go ahead.
Right. Yes. I have a fast question from your guest. Why will not let the bank fill like the Japanese they did? Why would let the right-wing radios use this socialism word, scaring the American public when there is no socialism in this country? Because it will never work. If the socialism was working, we have people in 1930s and 1940s and wouldn't be in this mess in 1990s. Why would we not let the bank fail? Why do people want to create a market that tell Reagan administration made all the right decisions? We are suffering because of the economic.
Now, let me get a quick response. Joe Nocera, this is the alternative scenario, I guess, isn't it? Just let the banks fail in the marketplace, and maybe the country will be better off without hundreds of billions of dollars, whether it's private reinvestment or reinvestment in private hands or whether it's nationalization.
Well, I mean, here is the problem. You know, most other kinds of companies can easily go through a bankruptcy process. But a bank, a big bank, a huge bank, if we let, you know, the most cataclysmic event in this entire crisis was the day they let Lehman Brothers fail.
Right.
If you let Citibank fail, you will have a global financial tsunami that will affect every sector of the economy in the world because of these derivatives and the credit default swaps and all that stuff. It would be, you know, it would be a disaster. So, the reason they can't let the – I mean, everybody's so mad at these banks. They're right to be mad at these banks. It seems so wrong to be propping up institutions that did so much harm. But the financial system, the banks are different from other companies. If you lose banks, you don't have an economy.
And so maybe Liz in Brooklyn has a case in point here. Hi, Liz.
Hi, I have a very practical question. Good morning to you both. And here it is. I am a lawyer, not a big practice, but I have some assets that belong to clients. They are, right now it's about a little north of $175,000. They're sitting in an escrow account waiting for something to happen, which it happens to be mostly real estate transactions.
In Citibank, right?
In Citibank, yes, sorry. In any event, my concern is, as I'm listening to this, which is all very scary, or potentially.
What happens to your money?
It is not my money. It's
your client's money.
And I want to know...
If what?
In short words, I'd like to know that I'm not committing malpractice by leaving it. Will the checks clear when they're drawn against, et cetera, et cetera? And
yeah.
I don't...
You know, on the depositor side, people are really pretty safe. I mean, the government is fundamentally guaranteeing or insuring all deposits, even well over 100,000 now. And that's what the FDIC exists to do. When a WAMU closes and it opens up the following Monday, nothing happens to the depositors. This is not a, the country took care of that after the Depression with the creation of the FDIC, and that really isn't a big problem.
Let me get a quick comment from you before you go on this news story that we had in our local news at the top of the hour. Maybe you heard it. Bank of America CEO Ken Lewis has received a subpoena from New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo in connection with Merrill Lynch's payment of employee bonuses before the companies combined on January 1st.
You know, you want to punish the miscreants here, the people who led us, you know, to the abyss. But, you know, handing out bonuses is stupid, not illegal. And this strikes me, to be honest with you, as a bit of grandstanding. The last time I was on your show, Brian, you were talking about punching Dick Fuld in the nose.
I remember that, picking up on a post.
This does seem like the legal equivalent.
Right. Okay, well, we'll see what Andrew Cuomo has and whether there might have been something illegal in the way those bonuses were concocted, but that is yet to be revealed. Joe Nocera, you can read him in the New York Times tomorrow in his Talking Business column. You going to be on with Scott tomorrow morning?
Actually, I am.
We'll hear you then on Weekend Edition. Joe, thanks for doing this.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
Explaining nationalization of the banks. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, Richard Florida. Remember his book, The Rise of the Creative Class? He's going to make a case why New York is going to come out of all of this much better off than places like, say, Mesa, Arizona.